The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now... here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, March 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here on the brand new Normal Network. We are anchoring now a network of six different programs that you can hear all day here at live.normal.org. We began the morning with Terry Joyce and the Hollywood Hemptress Hour, followed that up at 11 with the Cannabis States of America, the podcast for tokers in Dixie. Coming up later tonight, you'll get to hear Cannabis Cure UK from across the pond in the UK, of course. And then we will have John Doe Radio. The newest show will be up today at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Mile High Normal joins you at 8. And then we got more stuff, more replays of Normal Show Live in between that. So very happy to have you here for the beta debut, so to speak. This is a debut just for those of us here, you know, us regular folks on the podcast and on the live stream, but the beta debut of Normal Network, and we hope to make the big splash about it here at the beginning of April. Joining us, of course, in the studio is the maestro, the pirate, our engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, what's up, man? I'll show you what's up, and that is High Times Magazine. You know, we had the High Times preview just the other day with Dave Bienenstock, and I forgot that this was the issue with our ad in it. You got the Normal Show Live ad there. And the 700 and counting article on the side where we talk about Normal Show Live and all of our volunteer editors and Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. So the word is out there now. Pick up the new edition of High Times Magazine. You'll check that article and a full quarter page ad there for Normal Show Live. We're hoping to build this audience as quickly and as large as possible. Hey, Cannabis Carry can't be with us today. She's got the day off, so I'll be bringing your hemp headlines right after this first break. Also on today's show, we've got Roots Monday Music. We're going to dig back into the reefer jazz and play us some Texas Tea Party from Benny Goodman. Paul Armentano joins us at half past the hour. He is our number one expert on cannabis and driving, all the studies, DUID, and we're going to talk about that contentious and controversial Colorado DUID bill that we played some hearing audio from just the other day. So, want to stay tuned for that. Half past the hour, Paul Armentano joins us. And then at the end of the show, I'll give you a little preview of the Normal National Conference. The tickets and the registration are up on the net now. You can get registered for Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. In the headlines, we got Zach Galifianakis, a look at how hemp can help the Japanese. Freedom is Green on New York St. Patrick's Day, and Representative Jared Polis on legalization.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the day off. I'm Radical Russ with some news headlines here. And I want to ask the question, could hemp help the nuclear cleanup in Japan? I know we're a ways away from it, but just like you have been glued to the television and the internet, you know, checking out the reports on Japan, you know, they have the 8.9 earthquake. I understand they had another earthquake earlier today. They got the tsunami that washes on shore, tens of thousands dead, thousands more missing. But the latest thing that's been very scary about this is the failure of the power and the backup cooling units in, I think, two or three of their nuclear reactors. And I think there's one that's facing a potential meltdown. This comes from cleanenergy.org. As reported in the New York Times today, two reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi plant, 170 miles north of Tokyo, appear to have suffered partial meltdowns, and three reactors at the nearby Fukushima Daini plant are dealing with failures in the cooling system. Releases of volatile radioactive elements have occurred, though the exact amounts are not yet known. Reports have stated that radiation levels have exceeded permissible limits, and over 200,000 people living around the two nuclear power plants have been evacuated. There are reports that several plant workers have experienced significant radiation exposure, a confirmation that at least one worker has died, and more than 160 people outside the plant are also contaminated with radioactivity. Radioactive cesium has been measured, a sure sign that the nuclear fuel has been damaged. Now, as this story is going on, there's something that came up to my mind, and I get teased about this all the time by friends and family. They say, you know, Russ, you can find the marijuana angle in any story out there. And I don't do this to be facetious. I mean, our hearts go out to those people in Japan. I've got contacts out there, Gomyo, Hannibus, the Hoodie Monks. We play their song on our Toker tunes all the time. Taku from THC to Japan. I mean, my hearts go out to you, and I hope everything goes as well as possible. But I did. I found a tie-in. And the tie-in between marijuana and Japan and this nuclear incident can be found in the efforts to clean up the soil from the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster in the Ukraine. In 1989, 3 years after the explosion, the Soviet government asked the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, to assess the radiological and health situation in the area surrounding the power plant. Among the most significant findings were radioactive emissions and toxic materials, including iodine, cesium-137, strontium, and plutonium concentrated in the soil. Cesium-137 and radioactive cesium can be found in the food chain and then deliver its internal dose of radiation before is it eliminated metabolically. So this is bad. The land you can't grow, you can't have, you know, animals, ranch there, anything like that, because it comes up through the food chain and ends up killing you. So how do we get rid of those radioactive elements in the soil is a technique called phytoremediation. What phytoremediation is the use of certain plants to leach out from the soil these radioactive elements. And there's certain genus of the mustard plant that's good for this, other types of plant that's real good for this. But guess which one is the best at this? Yeah, this one comes from hemp.net. In 1998, Consolidated Growers and Processors and the Ukraine's Institute of Bast Crops began what may be one of the most important projects in history, the planting of industrial hemp for the removal of contaminants in the soil near Chernobyl. Phytoremediation can be used to remove radioactive elements from the soil and water at former weapons-producing facilities. It can also be used to clean up metals, pesticides, solvents, explosives, crude oil, polyaromatic hydrocarbons, and toxins leaching from land fills. Plants break down or degrade organic pollutants and stabilize metal contaminants by acting as filters or traps, and are conducting field trials to improve the phytoextraction of lead, uranium, cesium-137, and strontium-90 from the soils and the waters. Exactly what they're going to be facing here in Japan when they get these things under control. They're still going to be dealing with the radioactive fallout, the contamination in the lands around these nuclear power plants, and it's been proven in the Chernobyl disaster and the recovery from Chernobyl that in industrial hemp can be one of the ways that this can be extracted from the soil. Now, Japan does have the farming of industrial hemp, but it's a very tough license to have to get a hold of, thanks to, you guessed it, the United States government, which forced the occupied Japanese to sign on to a cannabis control law in 1948, which, like U.S. law, confuses cultivators of non-drug hemp with those who are growing medicinal marijuana or consumer cannabis. The hemp agriculture of Japan was 4,049 hectares in 1950. The scale of 25,000 people in 1950 were cultivating industrial hemp in Japan. That has declined in 1996 to 12.4 hectares. From 4,000 to 12.4, and only 102 hemp farmers. So once again, American pressure here has forced some other government to destroy its own hemp agriculture, severely limit its own hemp agriculture, and now the people of Japan need that hemp agriculture to be able to recover from this nuclear accident. I hope that we can get more hemp farming going in Japan, and we can eventually change these laws so that they realize it's rope, not dope, and there's nothing wrong with growing it. Got an announcement here coming up from our own Chris Goldstein with freedomisgreen.com, the source for cannabis activism on the East Coast, freedomisgreen.com. And it's an announcement about St. Patrick's Day. On March 17th at high noon, things got a little greener in Manhattan. Empire State Normal will remind New Yorkers that marijuana is a safer alternative to alcohol for St. Patrick's Day celebrations. It's greener, too. A rally and press conference are planned for City Hall Park. Douglas Green of Empire State Normal organized the event. He was inspired by the book Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Steve Fox, Mason Tvert, and our own Paul Armentano, a guest later on today's show. Quote, while scores of New Yorkers are out getting hammered, we want to remind the Big Apple that there is a safer, greener, and cleaner choice for adults, marijuana, end quote. The state of New York decriminalized minor marijuana possession in 1979, but the city has since enacted municipal codes that spur all of the arrests. For instance, marijuana in public view is a criminal misdemeanor. Quote, New York City made over 50,000 marijuana possession arrests last year alone, and over 500,000 since 1996, Green said today. Why are we wasting all this money, and why is the Bloomberg administration continuing to push New Yorkers to drink? End quote. According to Green, the New York Police Department is now handling nearly 1,000 arrests a week just for pot, or 15% of all arrests in New York City. This is no small matter. With 2.7% of the U.S. population, New York City alone now represents a striking 6% of all marijuana arrests in the United States. Now, at the press conference, there's some great speakers here, some people who have been guests on our show here at Normal Show Live. Dr. Julie Holland, a psychiatrist specializing in psychopharmacology. She is the editor of The Pot Book, A Complete Guide to Cannabis. John, you've read that book, right? Just amazing.
An amazing book.
Yeah, everything you'd want to know about pot's in The Pot Book from Dr. Julie Holland. Ecstasy, The Complete Guide, and also the author of Weekends at Bellevue, 9 years on the Night Shift at the Psych ER. And we've spoken to her many times here on the show. Dr. Harry Levine, who was just recently a guest on our show, professor of sociology at Queens College, City University of New York. He's the one that's doing all of the research and the social studies on the disparity, the racial disparity in marijuana arrests in urban centers, mostly Philadelphia and New York. Tony Newman, director of media relations for Drug Policy Alliance, will be there. Daniel Jabour, the New York State coordinator for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And, of course, our own Chris Goldstein, working on behalf of Philly Normal and on the board of directors of Normal New Jersey and the Coalition for Medical Marijuana New Jersey. Check out the more information on this. You can find it at freedomisgreen.com. More good news from one of our favorite congressmen, Jared Polis, the representative from Colorado, is quoted here in the Colorado Independent as attending a party thrown by the National Cannabis Industry Association. And the Independent asks, what do U.S. Representative Jared Polis and former Representative Tom Tancredo have in common? Both think marijuana should be legalized. What do Denver mayoral candidate Doug Linkhart and James Mejia have in common? Both campaigned at an invitation-only medical marijuana party in Denver Monday night, a party that Polis also attended. Polis told the crowd of medical marijuana professionals and business owners that their industry is on the bubble, saying it will either be shut down before it ever really gets started, or it will take off and become mainstream. Today, he said there are about a dozen states with medical marijuana and or somewhat liberalized marijuana laws. If people want to see medical marijuana or all marijuana legalized nationally, he said it will take another dozen states to create the momentum needed for liberalizing laws on a federal basis. Aaron Smith, executive director of the National Cannabis Industry Association, which was sponsor of the party, said, quote, "We want to put the black market out of business so that we can see sales to adults over 21, just as we do with alcohol, which is far more dangerous than cannabis," end quote. So again, Jared Polis, representative from Colorado, a big friend to the movement. I do want to make my little caveat I always make when we talk about this marijuana is safer idea. We all know marijuana is safer than alcohol, but I worry a little bit about demonizing alcohol. Yeah, there's a lot to demonize about it, but there's also a lot of people who drink alcohol and do so responsibly, and we don't want them to feel like it's an us against them thing, that it's the pot versus the alcohol. We want to have the same rights as alcohol drinkers. We don't want to take away any rights from alcohol drinkers, and we want to have those alcohol drinkers on our side. So think about that as we move forward with the messaging. And then I wanted to end the show on some good news stuff, and nothing better news than talking about Zach Galifianakis. I don't know if you guys caught Saturday Night Live. Did you see it this weekend, John?
I did.
You did? Okay, so you know what I'm going to do here. Saturday Night Live had Zach Galifianakis on. If you don't remember who he is, he's the bearded comedian. You've seen him in The Hangover and a bunch of other movies that I'll forget.
Due Date.
There you go, Due Date. Thank you. I knew there's another one. But anyway, Zach is kind of off the beaten cuff, and you may remember on the Real Time with Bill Maher show, he famously came out and smoked a joint. Well, it was supposedly a joint, right?
Yeah.
Nobody would cop to whether it really was. But so he came out and smoked a joint, and that was a big deal at the time. We wrote about it up on our show as well. Well, just recently, just this Saturday, he was on Saturday Night Live. He was the host of Saturday Night Live, and he did a pretty typical monologue where you stand up in front and tell a few jokes. But then he also went into a musical number, and mm-hmm. for the musical number, he did Annie. He stripped out of his clothes, he took off his shirt and all, and he's wearing the little red dress from Annie, the Broadway musical, on. And the music starts up with, you know, "The sun will come out tomorrow," and he's lip-syncing to it, right? But it's the Annie voice. It's "The sun will come out tomorrow," so it's silly as hell, right? This big, fat, bearded comedian in a red dress singing, right? And he's lip-syncing to Annie. But while he's doing it, he's got kind of a Dimitri Martin thing going where he's got the big easel pad with the papers, and he can rip off the guide there, and it's got little non sequiturs written in big black marker.
Many would argue that Dimitri stole that from Zach.
But who stole it from whom? But I've seen Dimitri do it. I've been corrected by my comedy expert. That's right. But anyway, so whoever came up with it, but it's the idea that you're doing something silly, you're singing in the dress, and you're showing all these printouts. Now, I didn't watch Saturday Night Live, but I got the tweets from Steve Bloom at Celeb Stoner, who watches it on the East Coast. So I always know what's going to come up on Saturday Night Live before it comes up. And he said there's something about marijuana. So I went to the net to go watch it, and on the NBC feed of it, you know, where they replay it on Hulu, they cut that part out.
They sure did.
They cut the whole song out. Now, maybe they cut it because they didn't have the rebroadcast rights on it. That could be. They might not have the Broadway rebroadcast rights. But it also could have been because of the content, because here's some screen caps of four of the boards that Zach put up there on Saturday Night Live while he's singing Annie. Here's the first one. "Clap if you endorse legalized marijuana." And of course, the crowd went, "Ah, crazy! Yay, crazy! Ah, right." There's a lot of, and he's still singing "Santa Come Out Tomorrow." And then he comes up the next one. "I'm ashamed of this audience," and he's kind of looking at him, scolding him. "I'm ashamed of this audience." And people laugh, ha ha ha, right? And then there's a pause, and then the next one. "There should have been a lot more clapping." Yeah, and so that's why I'm like, "All right, that's great, Zach." And then he finishes it up with the last one here. "I smoke so much pot, sometimes I forget to smoke it.
Been there.
you ever had that where you're sitting there on the couch watching a show and there's a bowl in your hand?
Just holding on.
And you've just been sitting there with it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's full. It's loaded. It's ready to go. You've just been... Oh, yeah, I should have smoked this bowl. I think we know what Zach Galifianakis was talking about. So, Zach, thank you once again for bringing up marijuana on the mainstream networks, on the cable networks, and showing people they got nothing to fear and that we should just go ahead and legalize it already.
In honor of Zach, I think it's time for a break.
Absolutely. We're going to smoke a little Zach Galifianakis strain that we just came up with.
Yeah.
It's related to Charlie Sheen. It's just cheaper and funnier. Be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Cannabis Carry's got the day off today, so I get to take over for Roots Monday duties. And when I get the chance to go to the Roots, man, I go to the Roots Deep Tap Root here. Some reefer jazz we're going to bring back from Benny Goodman Orchestra. It's called the Texas Tea Party, and it's just one of many of this style, this genre of music that we know of as reefer jazz. Of course, our history, our legacy here in the cannabis movement owes a lot to these jazz pioneers. Oftentimes, they were the only ones who were known to be vipers at the time, you know, marijuana smokers at the time, and they kept it all alive for us, and they built a lot of this culture that we're living on today. In fact, all of the musicians who were in the Toker Tunes library owe a debt of gratitude to these cats who were playing and toking and showing folks the creativity and the improvisation that can come from a fine sativa or indica or hybrid or whatever it is you might have. Some Zach Galifianakis, perhaps. Anyway, this is Benny Goodman Orchestra with Texas Tea Party.
Thank you. mama, 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 oh, why did you hide my teeth? Oh, mama, 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 oh, why did you hide my teeth? Now come on, mama, 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 and quit that holding out on me. Oh, I got a gal in Texas, one down in Tennessee. Wait a minute, I got a gal in Texas, one down in Tennessee. One in Texas is the only one that remembers me.
That's Benny Goodman and the orchestra with Texas Tea Party. We're going to make this a double shot of Reefer Jazz. So coming up now, some C.P. Johnson and Band with the G-Man Got the T-Man.
Me to say, see, are you all me? Nah, I never really do. The reason that the cats all look so square, but now I'm hip and I dig it, because the job is in the air. Boy, cats can't find their job at night, so now they hurry home, since that G-Man's got the T-Man and gone. They have to drink their lush and stagger, even though they know it's wrong. 'Cause the G-Man's got the T-Man and gone. Boy, one night when the joint was jumping, and a knock came at the door, in stepped a man with a shiny badge and a brand new 44. They've arrested my connection, and I can't find any more. 'Cause the G-Man's got the T-Man and gone. Thank you. And he's hip now because he called T-Man.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. Vienna, normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvino.org.
Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than most anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Amentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Amentano.
All right, folks, 32 after the hour, and the big headline that we're going to get behind today comes from the state of Colorado, where they're debating a bill that would create a DUID statute that would be different than the one they have here. So we bring in Paul Amentano, Normal's deputy director, who is an expert on all of these subjects. And so, Paul, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Russ.
So let's get some things out of the way first, because I think there's a lot of confusion among people here that they think that what this means is once Colorado passes this bill, if you're a patient and you're using cannabis all the time, there's no way you'll be able to drive because you'll be a DUID. You'll be above this 5 nanogram limit. Let's get some science out on this and tell folks what this bill will and won't do.
Sure. And I can understand why there's some confusion about the bill. It was not written in a way that was particularly clear. First of all, and fortunately, my understanding is the bill has most recently been amended in such a way that it makes its intent far clearer to the public. My understanding is that the lawmakers who are behind this bill are not intent on setting a per se statute, and that's the concern that a lot of people have in the community, and rightfully so. What this bill seeks to do is establish what is known as a permissible inference that states that if somebody is found to be operating a vehicle and an officer at the scene judges them to be impaired by drugs, following that arrest, if a blood test is taken and the person tests positive at 5 nanograms of THC or higher in the blood, the state will infer from that positive test that the person is too impaired to drive. However, because this is simply an inference, the defendant in that case, if they wish to, could present evidence and bring experts to testify on their behalf in court to try and make a case as to why, in fact, they were not impaired beyond the point where they could not operate a vehicle safely, despite the fact that they tested positive at this level. And to give you some perspective, Colorado does this right now. If somebody is pulled over and a police officer suspects that they are under the influence of marijuana or any other drug, and this person does not perform well in a field sobriety test, or they're exhibiting physical manifestations that indicate they might be under the influence, once that officer makes an arrest, it is more than likely that this individual is going to be administered a blood test. And if that blood test comes up positive for THC, whether it's at 10 nanograms, 5 nanograms, 1 nanogram, whatever level that blood test comes back at right now, the state is going to use that positive test as an inference that the person is under the influence. And they are going to go into the court and they are going to argue that that blood test result is indicative of somebody who is under the influence of marijuana. So in many ways, this bill would not particularly change what's already common police procedure in Colorado.
Let me paraphrase this here, and again, if it's too simplified, let me know. But per se DUID, which is what they don't have in this bill any longer, per se means if you're above this number, you're definitely impaired. Whereas this inference you're talking about means if you're above this level, we think you might be impaired, but you can argue against it.
Yes, in a nutshell, that's what it says. Although, just to clarify, the per se statute doesn't even necessarily say a person's impaired if they're above a certain threshold. What it says is a person is guilty of a traffic infraction or a violation of the traffic safety code if they test positive at that level or above. What the DUID per se standard does is actually take the element of impairment out of the equation, and they set a new criminal law that simply says it is illegal to operate a vehicle with a blood THC level over a certain amount. And that's really our concern with these sort of per se standards, is they no longer look at the totality of circumstances, and in fact they no longer leave it up to the state to establish that a driver is impaired. It simply makes it easier for the state to gain convictions because the standard is now set much lower. It's simply based on the results of a toxicology screen. The inference, of course, like I said, pretty much maintains the status quo because right now law enforcement already use blood draws and they already gather evidence from the results of those blood draws and present them in court.
And so to be clear here, if this bill were to pass, though, a person would have to be arrested first before they could be blood tested.
Of course, and yeah. that's the case right now.
Right. Okay, somebody in the chat room just wanted to be clear on that. And let's talk about the science on this, too, because I heard a lot of testimony when we listened on Friday of people referring to this study, that study, and another study regarding how much THC in someone's blood. And again, folks, we're not talking about inactive metabolites in your pee that last for days or weeks. We're talking about blood THC, which is, you know, active. It's active THC. But there's all these different studies, and people say, well, you're above this limit, then you've got to be impaired. Oh, no, you have to be above this limit, and then you're impaired. What's the science behind this, Paul?
Well, there's quite a bit of science on this. There's a number of studies that establish that there can be adverse psychomotor skills associated with acute marijuana intoxication, and not surprisingly, we see a dose-related association, which means the higher one tests positive for THC in the blood, the more adverse those psychomotor skills are. There seems to be some consensus among experts in this field that the adverse psychomotor impairment begins to become significant at levels of 5 nanograms or above, and that the psychomotor impairment is not particularly significant at levels below that. But like any subject, like the question of alcohol impairment, there is not a total consensus on this. If you put 100 experts in a room, all 100 of them are not going to say this is where the threshold should be. There would be some experts that would argue it should potentially be set higher. There would be other experts that would say this threshold should be set lower. In many cases, this is the same argument we have right now with alcohol. Blood alcohol impairment levels used to be set at 0.1. 0.10, then they were lowered to 0.08. There's experts that would argue those levels should be higher. There's experts that would argue those levels should be lower. And when we look to other countries, particularly in Europe, we see that there are many countries that have imposed much lower blood alcohol standards. Now, they're all looking at the same data, but they're coming to different conclusions. And that's going to certainly be the case with marijuana as well. But there clearly is a rational and scientific basis for this estimated threshold of 5 nanograms per milliliter. And in many ways, the lawmakers in Colorado ought to be commended for attempting to set a rational guideline that distinguishes, in most cases, between the person who has just used marijuana and may be driving a vehicle versus the individual who simply used marijuana at some unspecified point in time and is no longer under the influence. Most other states that have looked at this issue have chosen entirely arbitrary guidelines, or they simply set the standard at zero. In both of those cases, the intent of lawmakers in those states appeared to simply be to arrest and target and criminalize any person who's ever used marijuana at some unspecified point in time. I don't believe that's the intent of lawmakers in Colorado with this bill.
Well, you know, I listen to the fears that I hear from some people, and some seem to be afraid that it's going to set up a situation where someone who's a constant marijuana user, a patient who's using hourly, let's say, would never be able to drive, or conversely, that cops would be arresting and wanting to blood test anyone they pull over who's got bloodshot eyes. Let's talk about those fears for a second.
Sure. This fear that a person who's using marijuana constantly could potentially have residual THC levels in their blood and in fact always be over the threshold or the guideline that is imposed in this bill. I understand that fear, but right now there is just not enough data to really substantiate it. Most of the studies that have been done looking at blood THC levels are done on occasional users, which means people entered the study with a baseline of zero. And we know in those cases that blood THC levels spike immediately after inhalation, but they also fall precipitously, and they tend to be at levels well below the threshold imposed in the statute within 1 to 3 hours. Among the heavy, more chronic users, we really don't have a whole lot of data. Scop and colleagues in Belgium did some work on this issue. They found that individuals could test positive at very low levels of THC in blood serum, which is actually a more sensitive measurement than whole blood, for about 12 to 24 hours. But these were at levels around 1 nanogram and below, nowhere near what the statute in this bill is proposing. We also have some data that was conducted via NIDA a couple of years ago that showed when you took 23 or 24 very heavy users of marijuana that once again some of these users could test positive for THC in their blood at very low levels for these residual periods of time. But even in that case, and this is the most extreme case we have, we only see that one of these subjects tested positive for THC in the blood for 24 hours after their last use of marijuana at a level that was anywhere near the threshold that's being proposed in this bill. So while I understand the concern, there right now just isn't a whole lot of data to substantiate that it would apply in most or really in any of these cases.
Okay. I think one of the things that people fear, too, is supposing the bill passes and there's a 5-nanogram inference here, they want something like, you know, with alcohol, they have the little card that they hand out in bars. They say, okay, I'm 150 pounds, and if I had 3 drinks, then I need to wait an hour. Is there any way of judging that for your average cannabis consumer, your average patient out there who would want to know, okay, I just medicated, how long do I need to wait before I drive?
That's a very good question. And, you know, at Normal, we have for many years substantiated or argued for a no-driving policy. And we've argued one of the ways one can avoid this scenario is simply to not plan on driving for several hours after use of marijuana. And certainly in most cases, if one abides by that general rule, they are not going to put themselves in a position where they could test positive above the threshold that in this statute would be inferred impairment from marijuana. And going back to your earlier question regarding, you know, this fear that officers are going to find individuals with marijuana in their car or with bloodshot eyes, or they may smell marijuana when the individual rolls down the window. And in those cases, they're simply going to ask these individuals to submit to a blood test. You know, I would once again argue that right now, under Colorado law, those scenarios are all already taking place. If an officer pulls a driver over that he believes may be driving erratically, and when the officer comes to the car, he or she smells marijuana or sees marijuana, or the driver's manifesting certain or the driver appears as if he may have used marijuana, like he has bloodshot eyes, or he's, the officer claims he smells marijuana in that person's breath, the officer is going to pull the driver out of the car. He's going to administer a variety of field sobriety tests. He'll probably ask the individual to estimate how long he thinks 30 seconds is. He's going to check his pulse rate. And based on those findings, the officer is either going to arrest that person or not arrest that person for being under the influence. But if he arrests that driver, at some later point in time, that person is going to undergo either a blood or a urine test, because that's the standard way this issue is dealt with right now. And I don't particularly see this law, even if it passes, changing that procedure.
So what change will we have if this bill passes in Colorado from how they're doing it now to how they'll do it after the bill is passed? What differences are there?
Well, if this bill passes the way I understand it's been amended, where this proposed standard is simply an inference as opposed to a per se standard, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't really see anything changing at all. Like I said, right now, if a person is arrested for DUI marijuana, or if they are suspected of DUI marijuana, a blood test is going to be performed, regardless of how the results of that blood test come back. Mm-hmm. The state is most likely going to use the results of that blood test as one of the tools they use in court to make the case that the person was under the influence of marijuana. I get asked all the time by defense attorneys to come in and testify as to why the state's blood test results either confirm or don't support the state's argument that a person is under the influence of marijuana. And I've got to tell you, the state oftentimes will argue that a person that tests positive for 0 nanograms of THC in the blood on the blood test is under the influence of marijuana, because they'll say, well, while there was no trace of THC in their blood, we found a low residual remnant of inactive metabolites in their blood, and that alone establishes they were under the influence of marijuana. So allowing the state an inference if a person's over 5 nanograms, as I said, the state already infers that anyone who tests positive at that level is under the influence of marijuana, just as they already infer that somebody that tests under 5 nanograms of THC in the blood is under the influence of marijuana, even though the science most likely says that they're not.
So as long as this remains amended as an inference and not a per se thing, it's really much ado about nothing?
I don't want to quite go that far, because I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to have lawmakers trying to set these one-size-fits-all standards, because we know that based on a person's previous pattern of use and their potential tolerance to the drug, that that marijuana is going to affect individuals differently. But when it comes to brass tacks here, and one looks at the way Colorado already deals with DUI marijuana, and one looks at what this law actually says, like I said, my interpretation is I don't see a lot of change taking place, even if this law passes, and I would argue ultimately that's a good thing.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll keep our eyes on this bill and give everyone the updates they need, and also encourage people to check out our other podcast, Mile High Normal and John Doe Radio. They're checking out all of this Colorado stuff and giving you the testimony there. Plus, Ganja John this Friday will be giving you some of the clips, I believe, from that testimony as well. So that'll be the debut show of the Ganja John Show. And Paul, before we let you go, one of our chatters, one of our listeners in the chat room here wanted to thank you for your testimony for Decrim in Connecticut today.
Oh, I very much welcome the Chatters Post. And for those that may not know, I grew up in Connecticut. I'm a graduate of high school in Connecticut, so I have a very particular interest in both the decriminalization and the medical marijuana bills that are pending in Connecticut and that are being debated by the Joint Judiciary Committee today there.
Yeah, what do you think the chances are on those bills? How they look?
You know, I don't want to get too optimistic, but I got to tell you, things couldn't be any better than they are right now. The newly elected governor of Connecticut has publicly endorsed both measures. That's medical marijuana and decriminalization. The Quinnipiac poll, which is one of the major statewide polls in Connecticut, Quinnipiac being a university in Connecticut, late last week came out with a poll establishing that 79% of Connecticut voters back medical marijuana. 65% of Connecticut voters say that small amounts of marijuana should be legalized, not necessarily decriminalized, but legalized. Mm-hmm. So we've got very strong public support. We've got the governor's support. The Hartford Courant, which is the main paper of record in Connecticut today, ran an editorial endorsing both the medical marijuana bill and decriminalization. You really can't have a better scenario. The public supports this, the major media supports it, the governor supports it. It's really just a matter of getting it through this committee today and obviously getting it through the House and Senate. But hopefully lawmakers in Connecticut are going to be reading the tea leaves here and understanding that this is a politically safe issue and that the public wants it.
Yeah. Let's decrim and medical marijuana in Connecticut. It's great to see this happening all throughout New England. Paul Armentano is Normal's deputy director and an expert on cannabis and driving. Check out his full report, Cannabis and Driving, a Scientific and Rational Review. It's up at normal.org. You can read all the facts and the statistics behind it. And, Paul, thank you so much again for joining us here from the Bay Area.
No problem, Russ. Take care.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, folks. And before we get to the newsmakers, Stereotype just scooped me on what I was about to say, and that is today is National Pie Day, not P-I-E. But pi, the mathematical constant, 3.14. And in fact, just a couple minutes ago, it was 2.14159. Yeah, it was 152.96. No, that doesn't work. Anyway, it was a pi moment. But what I wanted to take some time here in Normal Newsmakers to talk to you about is our national conference coming up here in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. The registration is now available. You can now register for the national conference. It's the early bird pricing is $200 for 3 days. $200 for the 66 bucks a day. And for those of you who are students or seniors, it's 180. That's 60 bucks a day. And so what are you going to get for your 66 bucks a day? Well, besides the most amazing group gathering you've ever been to. There's the day events, which include a pot and politics panel. We're going to talk about all the different initiatives and all the different bills that are going through. Cannabis commerce coming of age. We're going to talk about how you get started in cannabis business, some of the legal things you need to look out for and to watch out for as you're trying to start a cannabis based business. The Normal Women's Alliance will be doing a presentation on closing the cannabis gender gap. A class on cannabis and cooking on medibles. Marijuana and safety, the real myths and the real concerns. All of this is coming up on the 3-day agenda. We've got both plenary sessions, these big conference lecture hall type sessions with presentations and panels. And we also have little breakout sessions where you can go learn a particular thing. Like last year we had the cultivation breakout, and John went to that and I went to another one. And there are media passes available as well. And this, of course, is in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. Just go to normal.org/conference. Now, here's some of the events that are happening. And in fact, we're starting early. We're starting a day early with 420. Of course, it's going to be 420 in Denver. So I will be in Denver. I'm actually flying in on 419. I'm going to be there at the Denver Capitol doing the smoke out and the protest there in Denver. I believe JDR, John Doe Radio's got some social events planned for that time too. But officially on Wednesday, April 20th, the normal happy hour and pre-registration starts at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. And this is at the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt in Denver. I think that's the hotel. I'm pretty sure that's the hotel. Grand Hyatt in Denver. And we've gotten like blocks and blocks of rooms that are all normal. So the entire floors will be normal, if you know what I mean. And for the happy hour registration, we're having Cannabis Science Theater featuring classic marijuana themed films. I think they're going to put Reefer Madness up and some of those old funny movies. So on Thursday, April 21st, registration begins at 8 in the morning. Keith Stropp will speak to us all at 10 o'clock in the morning, talking about normal at 40 years old. 10:30 to 11, we'll have our welcome speaker. We're not sure who's going to be booked for that one yet. We still have a few of these slots that we're filling in. At 11 o'clock, I'm doing my presentation, Marijuana Nation, the Science and Statistics on Cannabis and Its Consumers. If you want to know a fact about marijuana and who's using it, you don't want to miss that presentation. It'll be on 11 o'clock. Oh, and by the way, we'll be streaming the conference.
Yeah.
That's not to dissuade you from spending the $200 to go. But
going is a lot more fun.
Going is a whole lot more fun because all you'll see on the stream is just the official stuff.
Right.
The behind-the-scenes stuff is a whole lot more fun.
Yes, yes it is.
But the official stuff's cool, too, man. It's cool, too. So 11 o'clock, you'll get to see the Marijuana Nation presentation. We've got a Pot and Politics Marijuana Initiatives going on at 12:15. Lunch is at 1. A presentation on the Fed's Marijuana and You at 2:30. Cannabis Commerce Coming of Age at 4:20. And then that night, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, this is just the first day, the High Times and Normal Activist Awards and Art Auction, which is always fun. And I think Ngayo might be in emceeing some of these things, too.
Yes.
Ngayo Bilam. On Friday, April 22nd, we've got the Friday day begins at 8 in the morning with conference registration. 9 in the morning, LEAP is there on speaking on state-sanctioned violence. 10 o'clock, we've got a medical marijuana presentation. It's not just THC. We're going to look at the other cannabinoids, cannabidiol, cannabinol, cannabigerol, cannabidabidoo, CBGB, you know, all of them. At 11:45, the Normal Women's Alliance closing the cannabis gender gap. 1 o'clock, lunch. 2 o'clock, the Normal Senior Alliance, Bobby Plashorn, the Black Tuna, will probably also have a screening of Square Grouper sometime in here, too. Marijuana and the Media, Friend or Foe at 3:30. Blogging and Social Networking at 4:30, The Cure for Decades of Reefer Madness. And then at 8 o'clock that night, the Normal Social, and I believe we've got some great music coming up for that one. I think the supervillains might be involved.
Really?
You get to check the supervillains.
That'll be awesome.
Saturday, April 23rd, a normal chapter breakfast at 8 o'clock. That's for just the chapter leaders. 9 o'clock registration, 10 o'clock breakouts, High Times Cultivation with Danny Danko, Colorado's Cannabis Laws, Normal Legal Committee, How Not to Get Busted, and a Medicals Cooking Class. Medical Marijuana at noon, Jared Polis at 1:30, Marijuana Myths at 3 o'clock, Questions and Answers with a Marijuana Maverick at 4:45, and then at 8 o'clock that night, another normal fundraiser. Three nights of parties, 3 days of events, networking with hundreds of the top cannabis activists and cannabis business people in the United States of America at the cannabis capital of the world, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23, normal.org/conference. Check it out.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, folks, for Cannabis Carrying Gun, John, I'm Radical Russ with the Normal Foundation. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. For those of you listening on the podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down to earth.